time for What's Up with Opposition Deputy Leader Paula Bennett.
Actually, this morning we have National MP Nicola Willis. Morena Nicola, how are you?
Kia ora, I'm very well, although I will admit I have a slight bit of anxiety, which is that I'm taking this interview in my home office slash bedroom, and there are four children on the other side of the door.
Yes.
So if there is some strange interruption, you were warned.
I'm sure many people are sort of experiencing similar things. We're actually going to talk about that a little bit this morning too. But I do want to also chat to you a wee bit about going into level three and also this extra few days we've got at level four. And maybe also touch a wee bit on the election way further down the track this year. So let's start with the government's announcement on Monday. Of course, we're in level three next week after the 27th, but we have got a few extra days in level four. And Simon Bridges has been very critical of this in a Facebook post. He sort of criticised the government's decision to keep us in level four. What are your thoughts on Simon's comments, Nicola?
Oh, look, you know, first of all, I think we all agree that it's good to see we're turning the corner. I think all New Zealanders are happy that we're succeeding in getting on top of the virus and its transmission. One of the awesome things has been seeing how willing so many people have been to make sacrifices personally, in terms of their business, in terms of their family, their lifestyle, in order to get on top of the virus. And we're getting there, right? So that is where I think sentiment is. And I think people are also pleased that they now have a date when we start turning the corner and that level of sacrifice starts to drop off, which we now know is Monday next week. So that's all positive. But, of course, there are many prices that are being paid for the ongoing shutdown. And I think for those of us who've still got jobs to go back to, those sacrifices aren't as severe. But for people who own businesses that remain shut, that they cannot open, that they actually don't have a date on when they will be able to open those businesses, these are really scary times. And it is very important as the opposition that we give voice to those who have significant concerns and that we ask the questions they're asking us. So certainly that's the role that Simon has been playing with the Epidemic Response Committee at Parliament. And I think that's been largely effective because when questions have been asked at that committee, whether it's been about testing, whether that's been about contact tracing, whether that's been about personal protective equipment, they are issues that have then received further scrutiny and received further action. So that's the role of the opposition. It's not a it's not an easy role. And I don't think at a time like this that anyone treats the leader of the opposition like a hero, but equally there's a really important role that Simon has to play.
Particularly with small businesses, I do just want to touch on that because it did come up in the committee's live stream yesterday. Talking about getting those small businesses back to work, what would the National Party like to see being done differently for that, Nicola?
Look, I think we have been on the record previously that we do think more support is going to be needed for small businesses. As you know, we've had this wage subsidy scheme, which has been an effective tool for keeping many people in jobs and keeping the payroll going for small businesses. But that runs out. And so the question for people who haven't been able to trade, haven't been able to open their doors for weeks and months, is what is going to be available to them. Because if you look at it from the perspective of many businesses, they're doing the right thing. You know, the people I talk to in Wellington, where I'm from, who own businesses, say to me, look, I'm prepared to do what I need to do that's right to protect my community and to ensure that this virus gets stamped out, but I'm doing it because I'm being asked to, and I am not doing it because it's part of my business plan. So I think that there's a response from the government that is going to be needed in an ongoing way to ensure that businesses have certainty, because part of this is that small businesses are looking down the barrel of a continuing lockdown, and they're going, well, when does this end and what does that look like for me when it ends? And none of us know exactly what's going to happen with the virus, but the more that we can give clarity, the better.
We've also seen that youth are going to be probably quite affected in terms of unemployment by this, and particularly Māori youth will be quite hit hard by COVID unemployment. What would you like to see around support for youth and Māori youth, particularly in terms of employment support and unemployment support?
Thank you for raising that, because I really share that concern. I've had a lot of students in particular contact me saying, look, I was the first to get laid off when this crisis hit. I had a casual position, I had variable hours, and I've just been dumped off the payroll, and I'm not sure that there's going to be jobs like that to go back to. How am I going to have the income going forward? You know, I've used my part-time job to balance my budget, and I just don't know how I'll do that without it. Equally, we know from previous recessions that those who are less qualified or less experienced are, again, going to be the worst hit, find it harder to find a job. So what I'd like to see is some good employment opportunities emerge for those young people off the back, potentially, of some spade-ready infrastructure projects, by which I mean, look, we know that there's going to be some private businesses that are going to have real challenges, so are there things that we can be doing from a New Zealand Inc. perspective, as a government, to be investing in infrastructure that then gets small firms, construction firms, builders getting going? And the practical example of that is here in Wellington. We have had a challenge for some time with our water infrastructure. We get pollution into our harbour, into our streams, because the pipes aren't up to it. Well, is this the time where we employ a lot of people to get those pipes repaired and to fix that infrastructure? Could that be a path into employment for those who are made most vulnerable by this crisis? That's the sort of thing I'd like to see us considering.
Keeping on the general theme of young people, but maybe going a little bit younger now, as you mentioned, you've of course got your kids at home and you'll be working from home at the moment, and that'll be the experience of many people right now. Also, Term 2 has kicked off, and we've got students of all ages, right from, you know, wee ones up until we've got high school students and university students all working from home at the moment. Are you happy with the package that the government has been rolling out to support people learning from home in terms of parents as well as kids themselves?
Well, look, I was really pleased to see the government address those issues of connectivity to some families who just don't have the internet at home, who don't have the computer resources to do online learning, and there was a fast response to that, and that's really good, because I was concerned about the inequity of some families having laptops at home and some not. But I think we all just need to be a bit realistic about online learning, which is to say, I went into the lockdown and I started researching homeschooling, and my husband and I would have a little schedule written out each morning of what each hour was going to look like. We've got four kids under 10, ranging from 4 through to 10. And both of us, both me and my husband, have a lot of work to do. And so realistically, we aren't able to provide a detailed schedule. We are not teachers. We take our hats off to our kids' teachers and the fact that they can juggle so many kids of varying ability in one classroom. And so I've no doubt that my kids' learning in an academic formal sense is taking a bit of a step back. It's true that whenever my 10-year-old's laptop's open, I have to keep a beady eye on it because it might be converted to an online game within 5 minutes. But at the same time, I think many families are finding that there is a bit of a dividend, a bit of a silver lining, which is just the time together. You know, having breakfast, lunch and dinner together, doing things as a family, and that's unusual and special. And I know that our kids will remember it forever. And I'm very proud, Rachel, because yesterday we did an assignment for the kids that was a success. So if there are any parents listening, try this one. I wrote a number of topics on bits of paper and put it into a bowl, and everyone picked out a topic, and they were all sort of COVID-related things. So there was smallpox and black plague and what is a virus. And everyone went off and did some research, and then after dinner gave us a presentation on their topic.
Fantastic.
So that worked. So look, we're adapting, and I'm pleased that there are those online resources that the government's made available. But I think we just have to be realistic that in the end, there's no replacing a trained, incredibly capable teacher. And boy, oh boy, do we miss Alf.
Well, just very briefly before we let you go, Nicola, I do just want to touch on the election, which is, of course, scheduled to be happening in September. Do you think that the country is going to be ready for an election at that time?
I think it's too early to say, and the reason I say that is it's all going to depend on where virus transmission is at. I don't think anyone would want an election taking place at that time if we believed it was a significant public health risk in terms of having people congregating and reigniting transmission. You know, if for any reason we were in level four at that time, it wouldn't make sense. But we're still some months away. There's a very real scenario that actually we're well on top of this thing by then. And goodness me, my fingers are crossed for that. I really hope for that, in which case, the election could well take place. The Electoral Commission have talked about looking into supporting voting by distance modes, so whether that's over the phone or taking online declarations sort of thing. I'm glad that work is underway. And I guess the thing that I also really want as a politician is I hope that we are far enough out of these restricted times that politicians can actually go and engage with voters face-to-face in the lead-up to the election. Things like door-knocking and meetings are pretty important, so I'm hopeful that we get there. But look, it's just too early to say.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Nicola. We really appreciate it. I hope the homeschooling goes well today, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again in the future. So thanks for your time.
Have a great day, everyone.
Cheers.
Thank you.
That was What's Up with Opposition Deputy Leader Paula Bennett.
With